Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. Good evening, everybody. This is May 10th, 2021, council meeting. Mayor Sean Logan, everybody please rise, blah, blah, blah.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's May 10th, 2021 regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom for our city council as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item C is, 1C is a pledge of, or excuse me, D is a roll call. Sorry. Make note of the record, for the record that all the council members are present. And item 1E is our citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make the motion to pass this consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor of approving our consent agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move to item 4A, which is approval of an Eagle Scout project here in Othello. And tonight we have with us Joshua Smith, a Boy Scout. And Joshua is proposing a safety city street crossing solution for the city council to consider. So Josh, we'll want to welcome you here tonight. We're glad to have you. Go ahead and tell the city council a little bit more about your solution.
So I wanted to put these like bright colored flags on that.
Excuse me just a minute. Before I have you launch into that, why don't you introduce yourself, your dad, and then launch into the solution.
I'm Joshua Smith and my dad is John Smith.
And you're a Boy Scout?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're an Othello?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to put some bright colored flags on the 5-lane road in front of the Wahidas Elementary to make it safer for the kids to cross.
Mm-hmm. City Council's familiar with Juanitas Elementary, 14th Avenue and Scootney intersection. And Josh, would you want to continue? So Spencer, do you want to move to the next picture that he said? Yeah.
The safety flags would make it easier for drivers to see them, the people crossing.
Excellent. Continue on.
And with the flags, if drivers were partially distracted, they would be able to see the neon colors out of the corner of their eye, and they would not go out into the intersection.
And I see from your proposal that you would cover the cost of the receptacles and five flags in each receptacle?
Yes.
And there'd be a receptacle on each side of the street, Josh?
Yes.
Okay. City Council, do you have any questions for Josh tonight?
This is for your steps to become an Eagle Scout? Or you already are an Eagle Scout? And
to become an Eagle Scout.
So you have to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you tell them why the intersection means something to us?
You don't have to be nervous around us. We're a
because
bunch of normal guys.
When we first moved here, we were admiring how big the school was, and we didn't see the kids crossing till the last second, and the crossing guard stepping out in front of our vehicle made us see it, and we stopped.
So that intersection is kind of special in our family. Every time we drive through it, do you know that time, Dad? Yeah. It was a nice welcome to Othello.
Yeah. And we have had something like this on Main Street, correct, Chief?
Yes.
And is it effective?
We believe it does help. I think the rollouts and the POC system are going to be a better improvement. But until that can happen,
yes.
This is a great starter. Propose that the city continues to buy the flags after that. I think I'm buying about 150 a year out here.
Okay.
Eventually, everybody in town will have one or two. we'll be getting there. So.
Okay. It was us admiring the chief's
flags,
receptacles that gave Josh the idea.
And they're very inexpensive.
Flags are about $1.50 a piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So, because this is a Eagle Scout project, and also because in order to obtain the rank of Eagle Scout, you have to perform a community service project. Is that correct, Josh?
Yes.
So I think it would be in order for the City Council then to approve this Eagle Scout solution that he has for Juanitas Elementary as a community service for the City of Othello. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve this project by Josh Smith.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Josh.
A quick question.
Yes?
Before it can be done, it's your approval, and it goes to the PSA to get their approval. He has to have a signature on this paper. It wouldn't be handed to
the mayor.
Hand that to the city clerk.
Okay. Tanya Morales.
It's on the sticky note there. I'll grab this one.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Joshua. The city appreciates it.
Now I'd like to move to 4B. Tonight we have with us Desert Wind Wireless, and they have a presentation, Tyler Chappelle. Tyler?
Good
I got with me Nathan and Mick, who's also with Desert Blue Lights.
Good. Welcome to the fellow city council meeting.
Thank you.
I understand that your company is interested in also a wireless project for the city of Othello. We'd had a presentation here last month.
Yes, yes. Well, we don't actually have a presentation ready. We did give Abner kind of a layout of what we're trying to accomplish, and he's going to present that to the committee. But what we'd like to do is just, we'd like to provide the, you know, the residents of Othello, you know, more options, you know, more bandwidth options. You know, everybody wants an option. Nobody wants only one option. So right. We currently have services on Radar Tower or Radar Hill, and it's, some of that is too far away from in town to service some of the people on the outskirts of town, on the close outskirts of town that can't get Northland, or I don't know the new name of the company, a cable company, but we'd like to be able to service them, the people that can't get that service. We'd like to mount to a couple of the water towers. We did present some of the magnets and some of the equipment we'd be using to Abner, so it wouldn't cause any infrastructure change or damage to the water towers. They're just a magnet that sticks on there. The wireless companies use them all over, cell companies and stuff. They're really popular, work really good. So
it sticks directly to the tower?
Yeah, to the water
tower. So it doesn't have to have a...
no holes, nothing
tower,
like that.
Tower, or I mean a pole or anything like
well,
that?
Well, yes. Okay. So the magnet sticks to the tower, and then you mount a bracket on that where you mount a pole, and then you can mount your access points to that.
Okay.
But the nice thing is there's no drilling. I mean, and we could use those same magnets to route the cable and then, you know, work with you guys to see how you want to do, if you want to do conduit going down or bare wire, or, you know, we're pretty open to options. Whatever, you know, whatever you guys want us to do, we'll make that happen.
So you need to run cable all the way down the tower?
Yes. But we can do that in conduit. I had the opportunity to look at a lot of those, or actually all of them, and there is a ladder rack, and what we would like to do, if possible, is go inside the ladder rack and mount to that with plastic heavy-duty straps, so with scarlet metal, copper rods or anything, and it would go on the inside so it wouldn't, you know, prevent you from climbing or anything.
And then what is your wire once it gets at the bottom of the tower? What does it connect to?
It would, we would dig a trench over to a cabinet near, you know, and we were looking at one site, the one on Lee. There's a spot in the kind of right when you pull in the parking lot where you've got the power meter. We put our cabinets somewhere, you know, in that same general area so we could get power and then run a conduit, you know, 24 to 30 inches into the ground over to the tower. So everything would be buried, it would be clean.
So what level of service are you looking to provide for the community, Tyler?
Initially, we'd be offering plans a 4x1, an 8x2, a 16x3, and a probably 25x4. But we'd also be able to offer higher speeds to more point-to-point solutions on a need basis.
Okay.
And we are looking at increasing those speeds in the future. It's initially, it's just going to get in here and see what the potential is. I think there's a lot of potential, because right now off our radar tower, it's probably one of our busiest towers, even busier than some of the ones in Tri-Cities. So there's definitely a need for that. Unfortunately, where it's at, we're not able to provide the quality of service we'd like to offer, because, you know, at 6-7 miles away, the signal's not as good as we'd like to see it.
Council, do you have more questions? So the way the city is still in the process of gathering information, there is a technology committee meeting this Wednesday, which I was going to announce later in the meeting. And the committee hasn't yet looked at the different proposals, nor made any decisions yet as to how it wants to proceed, what it wants to do, and it's going to come back and give recommendations to the council. So we're working with our IT director, Abner, and what we want to do is provide, like you had mentioned earlier in your presentation, Tyler, options to the community of Othello. And we believe that those options are good for the community, good for our residents. And so as we move forward with our, shall I say, the discovery process and then outlining a exactly how we want to proceed, then we'll notify you and your company as to what the decision that the committee has made in the city council, and then hopefully there might be a way that we could do business.
All right. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're certainly welcome.
Is there any more questions? Concerns?
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to move to item 4C, which is the award of the Broadway Manhole Project Revised Edition. And with it, we have Sean O'Brien, our city engineer.
Hello, Mayor, Council. What you have before you is we're hoping to award a project. We did award this project to the low bidder at your April 12th meeting, but we were not able to get a signed contract from him. The project wasn't fitting in his schedule. So for a number of reasons, we weren't able to move forward. And we have talked with the second bidder, Joe's Excavation. They're able to do the project. And so just bringing this forward to you to award the project now to Joe's Excavation, and we can enter into a contract and get this work completed hopefully by the end of May.
There may be a question about whether we can legally do that. And so we have with us tonight Kelly Conkright, our city attorney. Kelly?
Hi. I took a look at this. So it's a public work, but it's also below the bidding requirement in the statute. So that gives us a lot more leeway. We also have an email from the low bidder, Timberlake, agreeing they can't do it within the requisite time frame and consenting to us offering this to the second low bidder. So for those reasons, I really see no issue at all in awarding this to Joe's Excavation.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yep. Goodbye.
Questions, Council? Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to award the Broadway Manhole Project to Joe's Excavation.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Sean. Moving to item 4D, which is award of a weed spraying contract. Our Public Works Director, Terry Clements, here. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This evening, you got in front of you a agenda memo for your weed spraying contract that was asked to bring back and rebid. We sent out certified mail on five people off the MRSC roster. I visited with them on the phone to see if they were available and could do the contract and spray the entire city weed-free. They said they could. So by certified mail, I sent them out maps and scope of work and gave them 2 weeks to return bids. The bids that we have here have been returned out of five or two of them. The low bidder here did not meet the requirements. He said he had applicator's license and aquatic applicator's license, and he was supposed to present those with his bid. He did not. Outback Spraying did. He met them all. He's at $42,340.50. The other was at $38,400. The rest of them we had no response from. Any questions?
Council? Well, let's go to Kelly first.
Well, I've reviewed the proposed contract with Outback Spraying. We made a few revisions, but in its current form, it has no issues from a contract standpoint.
Thank you, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Okay, now Council.
Has Outback done any work for us in the past?
Yes, he'd been spraying our right-of-ways and curb and gutters for the last two or three years. It's actually been quite a while prior to me.
And he's actually been here longer than that. Huh? He's been here longer than two or three years.
Okay.
And his performance is satisfactory?
I believe so.
Okay.
So in 2014, we had the contract started in 2011 with Outback Spraying. That contract ended in 2014. For the 2014 and 2013 season, the Outback sprayed here was the absolute worst spraying that has ever been done in this city. I've been running alleys and streets in the city for 25 years. That is the worst I've ever seen it. We had 6-foot Kenosha going in the alleys. We had, I don't know what they're called, but the vines that run along the ground, we had those running throughout alleys, and it was blocks and blocks and blocks. When the contract ended was the same year that I got on council. So I talked to Terry about that contract, told him I was going to argue the contract being renewed with them. The contract went away. It went to a call-in service. So now, so they've been in call-in service for the last 3 years. So last several years they've been in call-in service. There's been some things that I don't believe been above board, which I probably should not even bring them because I don't want to get into that. I don't believe outback spraying is good for the city. They've not treated us well. They just, and the last few years they have done a good job of spraying. I will give them that. But it doesn't, I just am not buying, not for a $42,000 contract. And that's pretty close to what we've been paying the last few years. It's about 40 grand. The question, do we have anybody on staff that's got a sprayer's license?
Yes, we do.
So we have all the equipment that's, the city has all the equipment for weed spraying.
Not all of it.
What don't we have?
We would need a little bit bigger tank than what we have to spray. How, and then we'd have
that's
to
a
have,
pretty good sized tank you guys have got. How big is it?
It's not big enough, 150 gallon.
It's 150 gallon, it's not big enough to spray for a day?
I don't believe so. And it would take staff, extra staff than I've got right now to do that, to stay on it.
So on a, and I don't know how the law works on this, but for, to have an employee spray, does it, that employee have to be licensed or do you just have to have a licensed person on staff?
Has to have an applicator's license.
An aquatic license.
I just, I'm out on Outback. There's other sprayers out there, just because they're not on the MRSC list. There's other sprayers out there.
Well, I had a follow-up question, and I apologize for the pause, but I was reading some notes. If you're on the MRSC, don't you follow the, aren't you pre-qualified? And I might be mistaken, it's a genuine question. And if they didn't present their aquatic license for searching work at MRSC, we don't have to require that, do we? I mean, we could verify that they had it prior to entering into the contract, referring to basic vegetation management. Just the fact that they didn't send it in after an informal bid process through the MRSC doesn't disqualify them. As long as they are licensed, we would be able to award it to them. Is that correct? And that's through the MRSC only.
Well, I would want to take a look at that issue. I didn't look at that issue before, you know, coming up here today. I'll tell you what my sense is, but I'd want to verify it before any action is taken on what I'm about to say. But weed spraying would be a service. I do not believe it would be considered a public work, just like the services of the city attorney is not a public work because it's a service. So it may not be subject to the bid requirement laws. It also would be under the limit. So that gives us more latitude. How much more latitude in this scenario, though, I'm not comfortable giving an opinion that would be acted on without at least taking a look at it, and it wouldn't take me very long. I could get an answer to staff tomorrow. That would be my concern. I'd want to double check and make sure that is okay, that if we didn't get, if they didn't meet the bid requirements, even though it's not a public works contract, can we still award it to them as the lowest bidder? I want to double check that. My sense is that we could, but I would want to definitely double check that before we took any action.
So in regards to the potential savings to the city, I would be on board with postponing this until we had legal advice as to whether or not we could explore basic vegetation.
Well, we would have to get some kind of verification that they did have aquatic too.
The guy that came out and did the rounds with me for an hour and a half in the city did not have aquatic applicator license. He had somebody on staff that did, but he was required to produce it when he submitted his bid, and he didn't do that. It was in the bid requirements.
Yeah, one of the things that, one of the little games that I believe is a game that Outback used to pull, they'd come one day and they'd spray for 2 hours and then they come back the next day. Well, they're charging us travel time for each day that they come. You know, we're getting charged for a chemical that I have a hard time believing that they're spraying that whole entire amount in two hours. The times, I've questioned the times, and I've talked to Terry about it, and Terry's response to me was, well, we'll keep an eye on it. You know, it just, there's just been a lot coming from Outback that's just wrong. So that's my piece on it. That's all I have.
Well, if they're not staying on the job when they should stay on the job, because when you spray the weeds, you don't want them too big either. You know, catch them in the spring while they're young.
Right.
Because once they get to a certain height, you can spray all day long. You're not going to do nothing to them. It takes a long time.
Yeah, it's so, May 10th. And, I mean, we're looking, I mean, you guys all have yards. And you know what it's like to let things go. That doesn't necessarily mean that we can't, you know, postpone this decision. But, I mean, at some level, we're postponing until the 24th of May, is 2 weeks from tonight, and we really should, I mean, when normally spraying for weeds takes place in April, and we're looking at not even getting anything done till June. So,
well, my recommendation, and I would make a motion to the effect, is that if legal counsel finds that there's no problem with awarding to the lowest bidder as long as they meet all the qualifications, because we already know the bid process is informal at the MRSC as a professional service, that we would authorize the mayor to enter into contract with the low bidder as long as they met the qualifications to be able to perform the work that needs to be performed in the time frame. If they didn't, then, you know, we would have to also authorize the mayor to enter into a contract with the other service provider.
Do you think if they bid it, go ahead, Maria.
I was going to say, like, to award that to someone that couldn't meet the basic requirements, that's, to me, that speaks to their professionalism and how, like, if we're having problems with that, with how Outback has done it and they completed an actual package, what does it say to the other business that couldn't handle that piece?
That's where I was going. If Terry asked them several times to produce that document, they didn't produce it. I mean, that's one of the things you should have when you're spraying, period. First of all.
Well, here's for the treatment plant. The aquatic license is a necessity for the city because they do spray down the treatment plant for weeds also.
Yeah, and my pure concern would be the financial savings and awarding to the low bidder in the best interest of the city if we could do that. No arguments on whether or not they completed the required documents that Mr. Clements asked for. I don't dispute that. I would be more of, can we save the money? That would be my whole premise behind that.
Okay, well, that's a little convoluted. Kelly, you understand the intent of Councilman Erickson?
No, I understand, and I'll just kind of restate my understanding so I make sure that, you know, we're on the same page. But the question is, given the laws we're under, this isn't strictly a public works contract. We've got two bids. One bid met our bid requirements, which are supply your appropriate licensure. One did, one didn't. The low one's the one that didn't supply that proof of having the necessary licenses. So the question is, if they can now, after the time frame that we set for them to prove they have the correct licenses, if we give them another chance to do that and they do it, can we award to the low bidder?
Yeah, and can we do that without exposing ourselves to bid protest or any kind of legal things from Outback Spraying that would say that there was an unfair advantage? In public works, you have public works contracts clearly lined out professional services, like PR firms, lawyers, things like that. You can just go out and pick them in municipality. So I didn't know where this sat when we're pulling from the MRSC. If we can say, well, this is kind of what we wanted, but we're not really bound to anybody for any reason. Can we just grab who we want as long as they're qualified?
Exactly, and that's what I want to take a look at. Okay. The process we went through, and just make sure under Washington law, even though this isn't a public works, but where we're at right now, that we could do that, or is there a reason we can't from a legal perspective?
And then I guess I would ask Terry, is the $5,000 savings on the budget worth exploring? Or $4,000 and some change. As a department head, I'm assuming it comes out of your budget. Is that $4,000 worth exploring? Or is it going to cost us more in the long run?
I don't know what this man's capable of on the low bid.
Uh-huh.
But I do know that he fessed up in the truck that he sent in his bid 3 minutes before the end of the due date on an email. But he said he sat on it for so long, and he said he didn't think he did, then he did, da-da-da, then he didn't bring in the bids that he wanted. So is that the work I'm going to get from him? Show up, not show up? So I got four guys, and he didn't give me any references with numbers and names at all. So it was part of the requirement, the bid requirements. So that's why he didn't meet the bid requirements. Two of us looked him over. I spent an hour and a half with these people, taking them around the city, showing them what we needed to spray and didn't spray. So that's what I came up with.
Okay.
Yeah, you wait a couple more weeks for weeds, and we're going to be in trouble.
Yep. We're going to be the chair.
First and foremost, my main concern is, why are we dealing with this now? Why weren't we dealing with it a month ago? My second concern is, what are we getting for what we're paying for? There's no... basically, when I would be doing a budget and doing a contract with an individual for spray for weeds, it would spell out two, you know, sterilant. You know, I mean, yeah, an application of sterilant in the spring, an application of sterilant in the fall. There would be, you know, if it was contact kill for to knock down, then, you know, he would give me a price for that. So you would go step by step on what he's spraying for and where he's spraying and when he's spraying and what his charges would be for those, you know, applications, you know. And because right now we got a budget of $42,000, and what are we going to do, call him, and every time he comes up to spray, he knocks off a chunk of cash from the $42,000, sends a bill in for what he did, for what he sprayed for. But I'm saying that in the spring, you go out and you hit everything with sterilant. Now, if there's weeds growing in the alleys should be sterilized. There should be a sterilant put down on the alleys in the spring, you know, right before the rains hit, and then again in the fall when we get rains. And that's a maintenance issue. That's a maintenance thing you do continuously. If there's weeds popping up in the sidewalks along fir, which I've observed for the last 11 years, you hit them with a contact sprayer. You know, you contact spray them and kill them. Keep them down. So that's a concern I have. This contract does not spell out what this individual is going to be doing for the $42,000 that we're giving him. You know, all it says in the first paragraph is that provide all labor and equipment for chemicals to maintain all city property.
Yeah, but all the areas that Terry sent him for the bid, those should be controlled. There should be no weed there. Now, if there are weeds coming out, that's their responsibility throughout the year to make sure that they put them down, because they're supposed to control that area. And you brought out a good thing as far as sterilant. That's real. Are we doing sterilant, Terry?
Yes.
Where at?
We do sterilant in around the lagoon areas and stuff like that, wellhead sites. We put ground sterilant down.
How about the alleys?
The alleyways we do as well. but we also come back when we spray them. We also spray curb and gutter.
Because we're doing it twice a year, we should be getting any
only
weeds.
Only once a year is what once we're
year?
Getting. Once a year.
Because I do it in the fall. I do it in the fall, and right. I got no weeds.
Right.
They're doing
fall,
it right.
When the wet weather takes it down.
Yeah, when you get moisture.
yeah, of course.
It's usually right. Spring and fall, but I'm not seeing that, so I don't really know what kind of spraying we're talking about, because I'm not involved in the discussions you had with this individual on what he's going to be doing. But normally that's the way I approach it, is, you know, what's my cost for sterilization? What's my cost for maintenance to go in and continually look after the thistle that grows, or, you know, you get a cluster of thistle that starts in your field or something. You got to hit it and you got to kill it. Kochia, same thing. You got to get it before it bolts.
And if they're providing the sterilant, they're spraying it, we should know, Terry, we should be keeping on top of it to make sure that we are going to get a rain here, you know, when it's sprayed in the next few days. Because if we spray it and we're 2, 3, 4 weeks without getting any rain and there's traffic driving on it, it's going to dilute it. You're not going to get the same effect. Mm-hmm. So I think as a city, we should be kind of on top of that to make sure they do it at the right time.
Correct.
For sterile anyway.
Correct.
So how often is Public Works going out and pulling weeds and taking care of weeds?
Well, we pulled the whole walk path last year from 14th to 7th. We pulled all the weeds from 14th to 7th.
Other than that walking path, are they taking care of any streets, alleys?
Anything? We pulled one alley of approximately 10 plants strung out over 4 blocks.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, so I got one councilman is dead set against Outback. I got another councilman wants to go with the low bid. I've got another one who wants to see more information. And I've got other councilmen who would like to see us move forward and not wait any longer. So as the mayor, I'm just asking, and I'll entertain any motions that anybody wants to bring forward right now.
I'm not objectable to the contract. I just said that there should be, I have concerns that there should be, it should be spelled out a little bit better.
Clear scope of work.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the contract.
Yeah.
So that there's no denying that it didn't get done.
He mentions the scope of work, but I didn't see a scope of work.
Talks about an addendum one.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion upon Kelly's review. If we have the latitude to go with the low bid, that we authorize the mayor to enter into contract with the low bidder. These contracts provide insurance bonding, and they're bound by contract, so performance can be monitored. There's severability and termination clauses in the contract, so we would be able to regulate performance, and I'd like to see it go with the low bid if there's no legal issues. So my motion is to, upon Kelly's approval, authorize the mayor to enter into the low bid contract.
Is there any seconds?
And Mr. O'Brien brought up a waiver of the irregularity as well for formality.
I'll second that. Okay. Any further discussion?
So then I've got a question. If there is an issue, are we also authorizing the mayor to enter into the contract with Outback?
Yes. Oh, we have. I understand, Mr.
If we're going to do that, I want a separate motion.
Okay.
Let's still vote on the first one.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say, Kelly?
What's that?
I think if we're going to...
Oh, no, I agree. Yes, separate them into two votes.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, correct.
So the motion then, as stated by Councilman Erickson, is that subject to Kelly's review, they're authorized the mayor to enter in the contract for the price shown. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we'll pull Starting at Councilman Erickson.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Nay.
4-3, the motion passes. Now, the second motion then would be if the bidding irregularity can't be overcome, awarding the bid to Outback Spring. Do I have anybody who wants to?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
And authorize the mayor to enter that contract. All those in favor of the second motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Let the record show, Councilman Everett. Yes, sorry, Corey.
I think we're just opening a bag of worms by trying to award it to somebody that doesn't meet our bid requirements. Every public works contract you go to, you're missing one little thing in there, and it's out, the next person gives it.
Well, this isn't.
Like, I'm applying for a truck driving job, and I want to see your CDL. Well, I have it. Well, it says yes right there. No, but let me see your CDL. Well, I put yes right there. It's like, no, they didn't produce it. Period. You don't have it.
I agree.
But we already voted.
Okay.
We'll see what unwinds.
Yeah, we will. Let's move to item 4E, which is the 2021 budget amendment. And Spencer is, our finance officer is going to walk us through that. Spencer?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Ultimately, this is an ordinance that I'm presenting to you that will amend this year's budget to bring in some of last year's projects with their corresponding budgets into this year. Last year, just as a brief refresher, due to COVID, the mayor and I talked about the budget and potential risks, and we talked with department heads, and we said, hey, let's put a hold on some of these capital projects. We're not exactly sure what kind of effects we're going to have on the budget due to COVID. So we put the brakes on some projects. Towards the end of the year, October, November, I don't know, towards the end of the year, things were looking fine, so we said, okay, let's move forward. And these projects here are all IT projects, Abner's projects. And so yesterday he had, last year he had a full project roster, and then we kind of tied his hands in the middle of the race, and then right next to the finish line, we opened him back up and said, okay, do whatever you can. Well, you know, you can only do so much. And so back in January, if you'll remember, we had a very similar conversation where he brought forward his projects and requested that we bring those along with the unspent portion of those budgets into the 2021 year. And at that time, council said, yep, let's do it, move forward. The ordinance tonight just makes that decision official. I see tonight as more of a house cleaning item. With that, I can take any questions you have, or you can move forward with the motion.
Council?
I'd like to move to adopt the ordinance amending 2021 budget.
I'll second that.
We have a motion made and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Let's now call our Community Development Director, Ann Henning, to the podium. And our item 4F is an introduction to our draft housing plan. Ann?
Thank you. So the consultant has made a lot of progress on the housing plan, and we now have a draft housing action plan. So that's the bulk of the work that's been done. So we'll be doing a presentation at the next council meeting, formal presentation. The consultant will be here remotely with his presentation. But I wanted to give you some time to take a look at it. It is about 80 pages. So it'll take a bit to go through. There's some pictures, so it's not all text. But I also wanted to ask, does anyone want a hard copy? I can make you a copy before you leave tonight. Just let me know. So then the next steps are going to be the presentation, like I said. Then we'll do public hearings, likely next month. We did have a stakeholder meeting this afternoon. We'll have another one on Wednesday, getting some good input from some of the members of the community. So there were some changes that will probably be made, and the consultant will present those next time when he talks to you about what's going on with it. So I guess, are there any questions? I don't really expect you to have looked at it much yet, but if you had any input, I'd take it. Otherwise, I'll take a list if anybody wants a hard copy. It is posted. It was on Board Docs. It's also on the Housing Action page of the website, so it'll be there. You can reference it at any point.
Okay. Questions? City Council? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
Corey?
That part wasn't on there this morning, so no, I have not read it yet, but I will.
Item 2. 2.3, reduce neighborhood streets with requirements. Modify off-street parking requirements, encourage or require alley access, rear, or shared parking. What does it mean that remove extra lot area requirements in R4 zones?
So the way the R4 zone is structured right now, you actually, to do a triplex or a fourplex, you actually need more lot area in R4 than in R3. And so that was just a mistake in how it was structured. And so that just is something that should be corrected. Does that make sense? Because it right now in R3, you can have a 6,000 square foot lot and you could build a triplex or a fourplex. Mm-hmm. But in R4, you need that 6,000 square feet plus 1,200 square feet per unit plus some for parking. And so it was just when I took the standards from the old code and put them into the new one, I didn't think through how that worked. And so it doesn't really make sense that you would require more lot area in the R4, which is supposed to be the higher density zone.
So, for clarification then, Ann, regarding the reduced neighborhood street width requirements, this is an action plan, and so what we're presenting here is a draft. There will be a public process, and the City Council will eventually adopt its housing action plan with whatever street size, street widths that it wants to adopt. Is that correct?
Right, and also just because it's in the plan as a recommendation, it doesn't mean that it necessarily needs to be implemented. It's kind of like a menu of choices of how you can increase housing. There's, you know, this one and this one and this one, and then we can pick what are we actually going to implement. But street width is something, I mean, if your streets are narrower, then you can use the land more efficiently, so it does affect housing prices.
Okay, thank you.
Are we going to hear from the Planning Commission on that anytime, on the street widths, soon? Sorry, Ann.
So the Planning Commission, at their next meeting, which is a week from tonight, they are going to discuss that some more, and I'm hoping that out of that will come a recommendation. That will, so then that would be coming to you in the near future.
Oh. I won't ask any more questions right before you sit down. Sorry, Ann.
Thank you, Ann. Let's move to item 4G, fiscal year 2022, congressionally directed spending request. Councilman Erickson last week had brought this to the attention of the city staff due to his employment at the irrigation district. And Sean, did you have some comments, Sean?
I thought you wanted me to present it, but I'll definitely sit down if you guys can handle it. Because I haven't. Okay, so as I assume you're aware, the city does have two sewer crossings that cross over the lower canal. In recent years, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, There was an event in the Yakima Valley near Moxie where a sewer line leaked into the canals, and it disrupted a lot of cropland downstream from that canal, created a fairly large financial impact. And so early last year, the district talked to us about our two crossings, and we looked at what we could do to eliminate the risks with the crossing near Cunningham Road. We put some ecology blocks, and Public Works worked with the irrigation district and did some things to make sure that a random car wouldn't reduce the risk of something hitting that. With our sewer lining project, we're planning to line both of these lines, which will provide a structurally sound liner that has no joints and should reduce the risk, the slight risk that there is in the first place, will reduce it even more. But they're not foolproof. With the infrastructure program that's being proposed, I think, with the federal government, there is a potential for some money to do infrastructure projects. Irrigation district said, hey, what about relocating these lines underground? I don't think there's been any engineering really put into it to come up with the cost, but they've said, hey, you know, this $1 million to $2 million projects would be good candidates for this type of funding. The more I've looked at it, I think it will probably be much larger than that, but no one's really put together a scope of what it's going to be. At this point, we're just asking council if you want us to proceed with working with the irrigation district to get an application in. I believe the whole plan is that this would be kind of like the state appropriations that we've received. It's 100% covered by the grant money. If it's even called grant money, I don't know if it's appropriations, what the program is, but we're just asking if you want us to move forward with it. And then at that point, I think there's some time needs to be put into figuring out what the scope is, and just because you go under the canal, you still have to tie into the system upstream and downstream and whatnot. But
is there any good reason not to move forward with it in your...
I just, no, it's good to pursue it. I would say pursue it, but I the application, before it gets turned in, I think we need to put some time into figuring out some of the irrigation district. I mean, I'm not sure what they're proposing. They're just saying go underneath, but that does, we'll have to go upstream and downstream and tie things in.
You only got one line, right?
Two lines. There's one at Cunningham, right off of Cunningham.
Okay.
And then there's the south half of the town. There's one that crosses roughly near Scutney. A couple of lines join and,
okay,
and cross there.
Are those cased lines?
They are, yeah, double-walled pipe, and I think reinforced pipe. They're not just regular sewer pipe. So one's 40 years old. The other one, I think, is 14 years old. We're permitted and worked flawlessly up to this point, but getting underground would have less risk. Not sure if this is something that the irrigation district's ever going to require or demand. If they are going to do that, then this would be a good time to try to get that covered by someone else's funds. But I think there's some, I mean, depending on how far they're going to require separation between the bottom of the canal, we could have some pretty deep lines and may not be able to tie in one location. I don't think we can tie into the existing line that then carries it to the treatment plant. We'll have to,
well, you'd have to
reroute and go down to Taylor.
You'd something. Really have to engineer it because of what?
There needs to be more preliminary stuff to figure out what it all entails, because I think it could easily double this cost. But
does Grant pay for that?
At this point, you know, they're asking for $1 million, but I've kind of stated I think it's probably going to be more. I don't think there's a limit on what we can request. So,
but how do you know what to request if you haven't had engineering done?
That's the problem. When they first approached me, I kind of said, sounds great, but I don't have any time right now to try to figure this out. I mean, you need surveyors to go out there and, I mean, figure out what the lay of the land is.
I think it's
is.
A great idea. There's money available, and it's federal money. Mm-hmm. And But I think you need to be prepared for what you're going to ask for. Somehow, right. Some way, you need to come up with a reasonable number.
The more you know beforehand, the better your application will be. But if we ask for a million and it ends up being 2 million, maybe we get one taken care of, the one that has most of our flow through it. Haven't really talked to the irrigation district. What's that?
Or the older one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would recommend let's pursue the grant application, working with the irrigation district, and either increase the amount or do some more footwork before
we... When does this have to be turned in by?
Friday.
You're going to have to do some fancy footwork.
But I think this is part of the infrastructure package that hasn't even been passed yet. So I think they're asking for candidates, and I think we can throw something there and then refine it after the applications.
Okay.
I want to clarify for the record, this funding opportunity was brought to me by a citizen who happens to work for the East Irrigation District. That's where I work. This packet was approached to the city by the South Irrigation District, and I bring that up for conflict, potential conflict. And I presented it as a potential funding when Mr. Simpson brought this to my attention after the Rosa incident. So the South District has been working on this, and I gave Sean O'Brien and Talia John O'Callaghan's information to work, because they did all the work on the application. There, I'm sure there's probably more. I really don't know what's left on it, but I just...
Well, I can get you some information on boring individuals.
Yeah, I've done boring projects, but the question is...
That have worked around our canal.
Okay.
Because there's some challenges. We ran into some challenges doing our boring. And, you know, you'd have to be upgrading pretty much up on the other side of the railroad tracks.
That's what I think with the first one, because we have a manhole right on the edge of the canal that I want to say it's 10 feet deep, and then that pipe goes over the canal. But for us to go down to the water level, to the bottom of the canal level, and then I don't know what they required you to have separation between the bottom of the canal and your pipe, but we could all of a sudden have a 35-foot deep manhole on the up gradient side, and we're not going to be able to put that anywhere near where our current manhole is, because we'd be undermining the canal, I think. So then you got to cross the mini storages. There's a lot of work that has to be done to figure out what is the length of the bore. And I know they can go a long ways, but soils can impact that. So I would recommend giving staff the authority to move forward with pursuing an application.
You just need a consensus or a motion?
A motion just to pursue it. At this point, there's no talk of matching funds. We're not asking for anything to be dedicated to this project. It's just some staff time and working with the irrigation district.
I'd make the motion to allow staff to pursue the funding opportunity.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion? I would just say that normally under the city's process to do these infrastructure and or other types of when we're going to get a grant, normally the process is that we would hire a consultant and or use the existing city staff. We would then go through a committee. We would either get a planning grant to have it studied and go further into depth to develop the project, identify some kind of a scope of work, and then move forward with a figure on an application. We just don't have the time with this particular congressionally directed spending item request. So that's why it wasn't on the agenda, because I was gone Friday. So we put it, I talked to John this morning, I talked to Talia, I talked to Sean O'Brien, I also talked to Senator Patty Murray's representatives, and just given the short time frame we have, I don't see there's really any risk for us applying
It's just that as we further want to develop this project, there may be some hurdles to it, and we're going to, but I would say it'll be a future city council action whether we accept it. But let's first find out if we're going to get it. So a lot of steps, but we have a motion to authorize staff to move forward. That's what we need. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our next item is 4H, an executive session personnel. And Tony, will you open that up? Because I didn't bring my, because I need to read that. Oh, sorry. Council now is going to adjourn at 7:29 p.m. for approximately 20 minutes to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 4230110G to review the performance of a public employee. The executive session is expected to last, as I said, 25 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. Okay. So with that, I would ask staff to prepare the council for executive session, and I'll have Terry and Spencer remain. All right, we're back in session at 8:04 p.m., and we'll move to our unfinished business, item 5A, which is the 4th of July fireworks, setting the date. And I understand Councilman Erickson had gone to a Chamber of Commerce meeting. You want to discuss that with the council?
Yeah, because of hired DJ that's going to perform during the park festivities, who also performs during the lighting of the fireworks. That was one reason they thought they would like to see the fireworks be lit off on Saturday. So the third. And then they were trying to maximize turnout and whether or not today was a good day because of Sundays tend to be some people's days of rest and with their families or other activities. They were hoping that Saturday would bring the crowd. The chamber's taken a hit, and I think everybody's taken a hit over this last year missing that. So wanting to maximize fundraising was totally understandable. So once that was explained to me, they had asked if we would have the fireworks the same day on the 3rd of July, which is Saturday. And so my recommendation coming from the Chamber of Commerce would be that we light the fireworks off in coordination with the park festivities and the parade like we've done in the past on the 3rd of July.
Didn't we vote on that last week?
We didn't vote on the date.
No, you weren't here. Gina was here. She was right.
We voted on it.
Didn't we?
I brought it up, but we didn't vote on it because
we're waiting for a change.
Okay, we've approved the contract. We just haven't set the date.
That's correct. That's what we had to do is let you know the date to write on the contract, so there wasn't a vote. But Gina had mentioned that push it off to vote on the 3rd, or I don't know.
Because all we have to do is put the date on the contract.
The mayor's entered into the contract. We've just got to...
Yeah, we just want to set the date.
Yeah, set the date.
So I had called Western Display just to confirm. They gave me three options. A, on the 4th. B, on the 3rd. And C, give us equipment at no charge, but we would have to hold it and store it year-round, and that is... basically the mortars, which they fire the shells from. She said the purpose of that would be that the city would save money because we pay to have those mortars delivered, then we pay to have them picked back up. And they basically would be, in essence, giving the city those mortars, and we would just have to store them. And I talked to Terry about that. I think that we probably would store them in that cargo container behind Public Works 2, and there's no explosives with regard to them at all, so they don't need permission from the fire department to do that. But what it would allow is that if the city's, I had heard a lot of comment after the Christmas holiday festival that they would like to see fireworks again. If the high school ever wanted fireworks for any of their events, or if someone else did, the city would already have the mortars to do that, and people would either save money or get more fireworks for the same amount. So I said, well, can we do B and C? And she said, yes, absolutely. So I just need a consensus. So Councilman Erickson has suggested that we go with the third. Do we have a consensus on the third?
Yes.
Yes.
And what about taking possession of the mortars?
Yes.
Are we going to have any liability for them? If something happens to them, are we going to end up paying for them?
No. Excuse me?
Storm for them?
No, they would be ours. They basically are going to give them to
us. Oh, they're donating. Oh, that's awesome.
As a part of this show,
and
they're ours.
No problem with room?
Nope. Okay.
Why wouldn't we take them?
Awesome. So, all right, let's do B and C.
Insured.
Okay. Well,
we'll be on it.
Yeah. Is there any other unfinished business? Okay. We do have a couple of items on unfinished business. Let's get a well 10 update from Terry.
So well 10 update. So we drilled the well down to 747, was planned to drill to 950. I'll just start from the beginning and bring you guys up to date. Several problems arose along the way, broken bits, things dropped down the hole, drilling through basalt rock. These were some of the setbacks the drills ran into. The well house was built and wired and plumbed. Some setbacks for startup were pinch points on the air tubes. The drug could not be installed to correct depth due to the pinch point. Needed relay in a panel that was not in prints for startup. Materials for startup arrived Thursday the 6th and were installed by C&E Trenching. Startup scheduled for Thursday the 13th. Shannon Culvert will be on site for startup corrections and training. That's well 10. So this Thursday, we're supposed to run that well. We sent an email to him and asked him if we could fire it up prior to, because it's under warranty currently with them. We never got an answer back. So currently it sets, and pieces have been put in, and then the startup and some training will be there when they go to fire this up at 10 o'clock on Thursday the 13th this week. The ASR update, the irrigation pump was installed in the canal. The well pump pulled and rebuilt, then reinstalled with the ASR valve on it. Pipe pumped to a storage tank at well site that was to fill from the canal. Filtration trailer I set with the individual. Plumbing being done for injection. That was done the other day last week. So we hyperchlorinated the well, then flushed the waste for a clean back tee. We did that four times. It was not part of the scope of work when it was put together with Aspect. So the guy, they put it down the well and left. So we ended up having to hyperchlorinate that well and run it to waste. We couldn't run it to waste long enough to clean that back tee. So we had to build a ditch down the side of the road to get it down further so we can overboard that pond that we have so we can run it longer. And we finally were able to do it. So that was about Thursday afternoon that we finished that up last week. We got a clean back tee out of it Friday the 7th, Monday the 10th, step test to the system. We did that this morning. Tuesday, tomorrow, on the 11th, there'll be a morning startup, final programming of the 3R valve, begin diverting water, and conduct step rate injection test tomorrow. That's as of current, everything that's gone down. So, questions?
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just make the announcement that at noon here, we're going to have a technology committee meeting. We're going to discuss these internet opportunities and also the idea of a consultant hiring a consultant for a broadband survey, because that's what's required by these grant in order to bring major broadband here. Abner has a lot of information he wants to give the committee, so committees John Erickson, Gina, and Maria, I believe. So we'll see you here on Wednesday at noon. There's also the surplus sale, Tanya. Is that Thursday?
Thursday.
11 o'clock, and that goes from 11 to?
From 11 to noon, we'll be reviewing the other company to be the option.
And that's going to be out front or out back?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can't buy anything.
No, I mean, it's a conflict, and you're the legislative body that approves making it a surplus item, and then you go back and buy it.
You guys approved it tonight, but the list will be posted on Facebook by Wednesday.
There's some interesting things on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to Cal Smith and Wesson's,
they're not going to be on.
Not that. What?
They won't be in this cell. They have to go through an FFL.
It was listed.
I know. I asked him, and he said that they'll be at another time.
Damn.
Do you have any new business tonight, Council?
Sean's gone, O'Brien, but Terry, maybe you can kind of... My question is, do we know when the irrigation water is going to be engineered for Sand Hill? Have you guys, do you have plans on that yet?
Well, we have some, but they're pretty elaborate. Mayor, we have some, but we also have looking at a grant to do something up at the canal for that.
So the big weight is on the governor to sign this budget. When he signs the budget, we'll get the capital budget appropriation, we'll get the grant money to do the improvements at the park. The lobbyists say, I don't know why he wouldn't sign it. I've heard all that kind of stuff. But I've seen how the governor has indicated he was going one direction, and then he changes his direction. And so until he actually signs that budget, we're just going to wait. And I think he had 20 days, and I think that 20 days is up on Friday. So once he signs that budget, then we can make our announcements. And at that point, contract documents would come to the city sometime in July from Department of Commerce. And once those contract documents come, then whatever balance of design that we need, I would anticipate that it might be a little ambitious to think that we could get it built this fall, but there's still the possibility that we could. And if we can, we'd like to get that built this fall. I think they give us two years to spend the money, but we need to run some transmission lines, and it's going to be two pumps, one here at the north end and then one here at the south end to hook up not only your subdivision, but also the one at Olson's. So that would fulfill what the city had when it created its irrigation ordinance. That would fulfill our obligation that we made when we made that ordinance, and that is where we would supply the ability to supply the water, the irrigation water, to these subdivisions. So I think he will sign the budget. I just hope it's this Friday. So, okay.
Thank you.
Any other new business questions? Okay, so item 7 is council will also receive building and planning report and planning commission minutes. And having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:17 p.m. Oh.